Welcome to Paradigm Shifters. This is Veronica Entwistle, and I have two wonderful paradigm shifters. And most of you know I'm an intuitive and I'm a strong metaphysician and so on, but I'm a lot older than these wonderful guests that are coming in. They are strong metaphysicians. They're professional women in the world these days. Erica Watson calls herself a being consciousness architect, which I think is an absolute wonderful title. I think you should put that on. Do you have that on your business card? Because it's really good, Erica.
I don't. I'm grateful for my branding partner to help me come up with that, as we talked about which gifts I bring to the world. And
she helps. That was... I'll read a little bit here about you. You help strong, smart, generous, independent women release toxic thoughts and life-sucking routines to unveil their deepest truths. There's a lot about clearing away the static of our society, and we're going to talk about that and ways of accessing our own purpose. That's one of the things that your architecture leads us to. And Renee Morales, are you there, Renee?
I am still here.
And you're a psychic medium spiritual healer. But I love that you have a background in finance, and you've got a master's in biochemistry. Biochemistry is really a happening science these days. It certainly isn't stagnant, is it?
No, it isn't. And it's amazing how it has evolved in recent years, because it's moving more and more away from that, what I want to say, that material consciousness, that reductionism of, well, if you put this chemical with that chemical, this is what's going to happen. And they're discovering that those chemicals sort of have a mind of their own. They have a consciousness, and that consciousness is driven by your consciousness.
Isn't that
and
exciting?
More and more, isn't that awesome? And more scientists in that area are coming to accept that and are understanding that vibration makes a big difference in how your body, your physical body, actually functions.
I love that. And so go back to Erica's being consciousness architects. You could say in both cases, you're learning to construct rather than accept what biochemistry says, but you're learning to construct and reconstruct it, right?
Absolutely.
How do we? Much more control. You have much more control than you believe you have, than you've been taught to believe that you have.
Or we have much more, many more ways out of the controls that we used to believe we were held by, right?
Absolutely. And I think that's why Eric and I have such a powerful partnership. She is such an amazing connector and is able to get in with the emotions and connect with the people and help them begin to stabilize where they're at. And I have this incredible gift of being able to come in and remove the constructs that are keeping you trapped and help you free yourself to create something that works for you.
Well, let's go back and forth. Let's talk to you one of you at a time, just to make sure the people at home can follow who you are. I just want to tell everybody at home, these two are going to bring together their wit and wisdom, their friendship, their hearts in a retreat in Costa Rica in Amatierra. And I've often mentioned Amatierra in my paradigm shifting, because my friends own that place, and it's a wonderful retreat center. I've spent quite a bit of time there myself. So in a retreat, Erica, what do you expect to be able to accomplish with people?
Well, my vision is really to help women and the men that feel called to be there to really get to come to a place of new relationship and understanding around their body and their thoughts and their emotions and the truth that lies really deep within their heart, and to help them to begin to get into a place where they feel more spacious and more open and more free, so that they have the ability to then choose and decipher what it is that they want to now bring forth in the world and follow that calling. So we start with the body. I'm going to be teaching, you know, yoga every day, which is optional, but I hope people can come the yoga classes. So we get to start to really get into our bodies and have this new relationship with our body as being this gateway to receiving the divine messages through our intuition and our senses and our feeling state.
But Erica, what if somebody's not any good at yoga? Should they still come?
Yes, they should still come because everyone, there's yoga is for everybody. It really is a yoga is not just about the physical. It's about the place of union between you and your divine self. And the poses that we'll be doing and offering are more gentle. And there's a pose for everyone. And that's a gift that I have is to see where each person needs to be met. And if someone doesn't want to come to the yoga classes, if they decide they'd rather, you know, spend the morning in bed or a walk on one of the trails, that's up to them. And that's the whole part about this retreat that's lovely is teaching people to access what is right for them and remove the expectation of what it should look like. And so yoga is an opportunity for someone to come to the yoga center, yoga room, and practice alongside of us. Or you can choose to listen to your heart and decide what will be right for me in this moment. And that's the essence of the whole retreat.
Oh, good. Well, let's move over to Renee. Right. Are you also doing the yoga classes, Renee? Are you joining the yoga classes or what is your approach?
I will be one of these people who will participate in yoga class probably the first day and participate in massage the next day. what I am bringing to the table is
to the massage table, so to speak.
To the massage table, yes. I will bringing my physicality to the massage table, but I will be bringing my consciousness and my gift to meditation. We're going to be having a couple of sessions of meditation daily in the morning and in the evening so we can create some mental space to begin to hear the voice of the divine that resides in each of us. So many of us look outside of ourselves for answers. It's like, okay, I know I need to be doing something. I'm not satisfied. I've got everything that I thought that I wanted, and I'm still unhappy or sad or fat or whatever it is, trapped. And I don't understand why it's not working. And we start to look around us at people around us and go, well, it looks like Susie has the answer. It looks like Mary has the answer. Joe's got a good lifestyle. I'm sure he must be just happy schmappy. And the problem is we're comparing our inside to their outside.
Well, I want to say this, that it seems to me that young women especially, probably young men too, but young women especially these days, are under incredible pressure. I know I mentioned this to you before we started our interview that I watch these young, beautiful women and people are out there getting their breasts reorganized and their, you know, their faces redone and their, you know, the certain body type. And I know some people that are really using an awful lot to carve themselves into what they think is appropriate. Plus, it seems like the workload is huge and the security level in work is not good. And you talked about comparison and competition, and it seems like it's at an all-time high, even though in metaphysics we know better, don't we?
Absolutely. Well, and if you look at the society we're living in right now with the Facebook world and the unreality TV series and stuff that's out there, if you look at your Facebook wall and if you look at all of the different shows that turn up on your cable TV channel, you would get the impression that you needed to be a size 2 and have this incredible 38 triple D whatever plus line and hair and beautiful and whatever in order to be a wonderful, successful, fulfilled person. And it really doesn't work that way. What you will find with the people who are truly fulfilled, while they may have some of the bells and whistles on the outside, they don't really care about those bells and whistles on the outside. What they're tied up with, what they're involved with, are the things that sing to their soul and put them into this space where time doesn't exist for them anymore. They get to the end of the workday and they go, what, are we done already? And that's where the living needs to happen. And you don't find that by living outside of yourself.
You mean living into the truth of yourself. You mean living into the truth of yourself. Yeah, and we're not taught that. as we grow up, are we?
No, we're not. You know, people my age now, I have more friends that are considering, you know, their relationships with their husbands that they, that they met and married in their early 20s, because that was the path. As soon as you're out of college, you get married, and that's what you're supposed to do in order to be happy, safe, and successful.
That's right.
But now they're in their mid-30s, and they're like, whoa, I didn't know who I was at my 20s. I was still being who I thought I needed to be. And now I've built this life with this man that I may love, or maybe I thought I loved him. And I'm only starting now to say there's something else inside of me that wants to come through. And it can be really scary to say, oh, maybe I want to go back to the workforce, or maybe I don't want to be a mother at all. Or now I have two kids and this really wasn't my path. So how do I evolve and still care for the people in my life that I love so much and remain true to myself? While trying to figure all that out.
But I want to take
an enormous amount of pressure.
I'm going to make exception to a word you use, is that you said remain true to myself. And I think what you're talking about also is the unfoldment of self.
Right.
In the middle of it. And who you are is not who you used to be, really.
Well, right. And that's why I love the term.
I think a lot of us start from the point where we're not true to ourselves at all. We're just fulfilling everybody else's expectations
exactly.
of what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
And that's why I love the word emerging, because it does. It keeps unfolding. It keeps emerging. It keeps blossoming. It keeps revealing more of itself. And that's what our journey is about.
And you know what's really interesting, young ladies? I call you young ladies. Well, I'm in my 70s, right? And emerging is a really big deal to people in my age. So it's not like one segment of your life is for emerging, right? It's that there's a constant unfoldment going on, and there's a real gift in that. And I think people have to be liberated to get that. And it seems to me that's the work you're doing, is helping people liberate themselves into the right to be who they really are. Is that right?
Absolutely. That's precisely why we put together this retreat, because a lot of times, well, change is difficult under the best of circumstances, right? Face it, we've all tried to change a habit. But what we want to do is facilitate that, the beginning of that changing process. And so we decided on a retreat Costa Rica, so that you have this clear space where you can begin to establish something different and to learn some tools to maintain that space when you return home, so you can continue that emergence, that unfoldment process.
And is it all women, Renee? Is it all for women?
We are not restricting it just to women, but we find that the women seem to really resonate with what we have to offer.
And are you going to be teaching women to channel?
We will be teaching women to connect in whatever way suits them best. What I have found working with people who are coming into their psychic abilities and their awareness of their connection to divinity is it's sort of like, you know, when in school you were good at certain subjects and not so good at other subjects. So you loved reading, you hated math. Science was great. Don't talk to me about history. It's the same way with the clairs and the different psychic senses that we have. Some of us are very visual. Some of us are auditory. Some of us are empathic. Some of us are intuitive. Some of us just know. So we're going to work with each person in their area of strength, which is part of the reason we intend to keep it small.
Okay. And
so
how
that
small?
That way there is, we are maxing out our enrollment at 20 people.
Okay. That's not very many. That's great. So that the person would have more one-on-one. And what I do know about Amatierra is that the food is pretty darn good. So people who come don't have to concern themselves with their food, right?
Oh, and that's the most amazing thing for me, because a lot of us sensitive. People are sensitive on more than one plane, including the physical one. And I have like food allergies outside the ears. And when I talked with Jill and Bob, they were like, oh, not a problem. Just send us a list of whatever it is you can't have. We will work with you. We totally understand this gluten-free, lactose-free, you know, not a problem at all. Vegan, vegetarian, it's no issue. I'm like, oh, awesome. Because I'm the painful one at the table. When we go out for dinner, it's like, okay, what's in this?
Well, I think
can
a lot
I negotiate?
Of it, you are a what?
Can I negotiate what's in my meal?
Erica, do you have sensitivities as well?
You know, I do. I find that for myself, that the more sensitive I become and more open, that high wheat or high sugar, I develop kind of like a heat rash in my body. So I try to stay away from the wheats and the sugars. And I also had given up land animal for quite some time. I stuck with the seafood, which I love. But I tend to eat more of a vegetable, plant-based diet, organic when possible, lots of water, and dark chocolate. Always dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate for breakfast, lunch, and
but I, yes, exactly. And dairy, I tend to stay away from cream and things like that because I find that I have an adverse reaction to that. So, you know, it used to be that I would feel like Renee said at the table, kind of self-conscious. My sister was always yelling at me. And I would have a little bit of fear around, can I maintain the sense of health and wellness, and will my body feel good traveling? And to be honest, I feel like I'm going to be there, and I feel like I can breathe even easier knowing that they're going to be providing me with the three meals a day that I don't have to cook, that I don't have to prepare, and they're going to be catered towards what it is that I love and what my body loves.
So you don't have to
be really refreshing.
You don't have to be defensive or thinking you're going to offend people if you say what you need. That's the most
important. Oh, no, not at all. Yeah.
Well,
just relax and just lay that cloak
down. Sorry. And the biggest thing for me is I don't have to be concerned that somebody in the kitchen who's unfamiliar with food allergies is going to go, oh, well, we'll just garnish this with breadcrumbs. It's like, no. I know you have the best of intentions, but this is very bad.
I think
so. I can eat with peace.
Yeah, you can what?
I can eat with peace. I don't have to worry.
Yeah, and I think that when you go on retreat and you know you can count on your meals, it takes a huge amount of pressure off you, and you get to really be in your own world. Mm-hmm. It's a cocoon,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And it's a transformational cocoon for sure. And I will also mention, you know, around the food, and, you know, I mentioned before having a new relationship to our bodies, and then some of the people coming, you know, their availability to look beyond, to even see what their next step in their path is, or to have these big dreams for their life, are somewhat limited due to the mental chatter that goes on in their mind all day long about what do they look like, what their body looks like, et cetera. And so coming into this retreat center, they're going to have an opportunity to kind of have a new experience of relating to their bodies, getting into the harmony with the day and with, you know, positive, you know, exercise and breath work and nourishing food, so that they can realize they can kind of let go of that grip of fear that is taking up all their brain space, so that then they can move on to bigger and better things in their life and relax, knowing that their bodies aren't going to fight against them, that they're actually going to become more awakened and alive and radiant.
Well, Eric,
in the patterns they're stuck in.
And you talked about breath work. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, our breath is such an amazing, you know, it's something that we do unconsciously all day. And then when we start to come into a conscious breathing, knowing that where we send that breath in our bodies to dissolve tension or stress, you know, that breath is the way that we actually begin to oxygenate our bodies and create a healthier digestion for ourselves, so our metabolism can burn faster, so that we can stay in a weight that is right for us. You know, breath is awesome for clearing out the tension and the anxieties and the toxic kind of emotions that have built up inside of us. You know, it's a life force. So it's, we're going to be doing both in the yoga and maybe even in the meditations, you know, learning different breath techniques to help us feel energized when we need to feel energized, to help us feel more calm when we need to feel calm. There's so many different ways of becoming a conscious breather to assist you throughout the day so that we're not reaching for, you know, that cup of coffee, you know, every hour to stay energized, or we're not going on to, you know, panic meditations. If we're having panic attacks, we can start to learn how to use our breath in ways that bring us back into alignment and balance in ourselves so we can continue, you know, on our day in a way that's going to be happy and healthy and functioning without needing outside.
I'm a real fan of breath work. You can really evolve with that. Will you be doing readings for all the people that come?
We will be making readings available if they want something private. Mm-hmm. We will be teaching people how to read for themselves and how to read for each other as part of the Sacred Living Lab series that we're putting on. We will have a couple of labs each day that people can participate in that range from connecting to your body, releasing your trapped emotions, and the more physical sorts of things like that, on up to identifying who are your spirit guides, your angels, your guardian angels, and how do you talk to them? How do you hear their voices? And if you're interested, there will be a section on even reading cards. Because a lot of people who are new in their psychic development path have some trouble trusting that voice inside and sorting that out from, well, is this my ego or is this divine? Is this from my spirit guides or is this me just trying to justify something? And cards are very useful in being able to sort that out. So we're having a whole series of these sacred living labs.
What are they called again? Sacred Living Labs?
Sacred Living Labs. And in fact, we're doing sneak peeks of the Sacred Living Labs. We did the first one actually a little bit before this call, and it's now on replay. And there are two more coming up, one on Saturday at noon, which will be after this airs, and then one on Tuesday, which will also be after this airs, but we will have the replays available if they want to go to the Runaway and Reset Retreat.com/sneak, S-N-E-A-K dash P-E-E-K.
Well, wait a sec. You're called the Runaway and Refresh. What is it called?
Our call series tonight?
Yeah,
the Runaway. It's lovebeingheard.com.
But what did she say about Runaway and Retreat or Runaway and Refresh?
Runaway and Reset Retreat is the website for the retreat.
That's for the retreat in Costa Rica,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
I think that's a wonderful title.
Well, and it responds on that, you know, that feeling of, oh my gosh, like I just want to, if I could just freeze time or I just want to run away from what I've created. I know myself in my 20s, I would be Googling ashrams to be like, if I could just go somewhere and get out of, you know, my space and figure out life for a little bit and then come back and make it all perfect, then I would do that. So without having to run away from an ashram forever, this is our way of really creating that space for people to come and really receive who they are again in this loving, nurturing, expansive space and fun.
How long is the retreat, Erica?
It's 8 days, 7 nights. It's October 10th through the 17th.
Well, that's actually a good length of time. That's long enough to kind of get not just your feet wet, to really drop off some of your world, isn't it?
It is. And we're not just going to be, you know, in the center. We're going to be going on adventure trips and going down to the beaches, and there's other trips around, you know, the volcano or horseback riding or things, you know, within Costa Rica that allow people to, you know, see themselves in a new way and empower themselves. And people would say travel is one of the best ways for you to start to know who you are again.
And hey, you guys, more. There's a zip line really close too.
Yeah. Talk about soaring.
There's a zip line and there's a butterfly preserve and there's a beach tour and there are therapy horses and there's horseback riding and you name it. They've pretty much got your adventure there. While I've got the microphone, let me correct my URL. If you're interested in a sneak peek of the Sacred Living Labs and some of that material, you need to go to lovedseenheard.com.
Lovedseenheard.com.
/sneak peek. SneakPeek.
Oh. Oh, good. Okay. And so these living spiritual, what are they called? The labs? What are they called again?
Sacred Living Labs.
Okay. And what are they? Are they like a call-in discussion?
Those are webcasts. By the time your callers hear that, they will all be webcasts. So you will sign up with your email and your name. You'll get a confirmation email, and then you'll get the link to the actual page that has the webcast series on them.
Okay.
And so you can click that. They run, I get really vocal, long-winded. So they run about an hour and a half. They were intended to run an hour. You see how I am. You get more than your money when you talk to me.
And what are they? They're just talks, or what are they?
We have three topics.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Erica.
Hi. I was going to say we have three topics. We're doing clearing. So we decided we did cord cutting, connecting. We're doing chakra balancing and grounding. And then we're doing the co-creation. And what jumped out of us as we were asking divine guidance for this was how to teach people how to co-create with the fairies. So, which are similar to the angel guides. So those are three topics of the calls that we'll be doing. And what's really fun is that we're allowing one listener to have to be guided through the process so that the other listeners can, you know, hear what the process is like, and someone can actually receive the blessing of the work themselves live. So that's been a really, you know, beautiful and opening experience for us all to come together to really witness ourselves and in the process of what we're all holding on to and what we're wanting to let go of, and to realize we're not alone, and then to see how these tools can help. It's on so many different facets. It's been a fun way to bring this work to more people.
So it's kind of an interesting format for unhooking yourself from unnecessary things that you've collected in the social structure. Would you say that's what it sounds like to me?
Absolutely. And we're demoing it in these sneak peek calls. But
I like
when
that.
You join us in Costa Rica, we teach you how to do it. Here are the steps, and you will walk through it with a partner and experience it, and giving and receiving that process and learning to do it for yourself.
Well, now, one of the things, I like that a lot, actually. One of the things that we're learning more and more about on the edges of metaphysics, for example, is, or if you just even want to look at politics, right, is learning how to get along. And you spoke of co-creation. Barbara Marks Hubbard is really, really on about that. She has been for a number of years, but she's really on about that these days. And I would like you to talk, because you know this, I know this, people are having marriage meltdowns, wars are happening, we got refugees all over the place, we've got money issues and greed and selfishness and families splitting apart. And you're talking co-creation, and we're talking basically relationships and getting along, aren't we? And we're talking about young women or young people being very much under pressure. So I just threw this whole tank of stuff on you.
And that's exactly what we're dealing with right now in society, right? So I'm not surprised that whole tank has kind of popped up here. And part of the reason we want to step back from that, right, because all of that is driven by the ego, which says that we have to do X, Y, Z in order to be safe and protected and blah, 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 blah. And the louder the ego talks, the harder it is to hear your internal divine guidance.
But the ego itself is a very important tool. We need to use it as a tool, not have it run us, don't you think?
Exactly right. And that's one of the things that we'll teach you is how to connect with that ego and redirect it. Because right now the ego is running the train,
mm-hmm.
and it is not licensed to drive that. Okay.
Or attachments and holding on to what you think is security, because both of you were talking on using different verbiage on how security, as we had it marketed to us, isn't really security, is it?
No, it isn't. And security, as we've defined it, does not truly exist. We'd like to think that it does, but we have a much greater, a much more profound security that we can connect to that yields much, much larger and more fulfilling dividends when we can step back and we can let go of the dualism of the world and we can let go of the ego. It's all about me. It has to be mine. I have to hold on to things really tight or I won't have anything.
Or I won't be anything, I think, is even worse, isn't it?
Exactly, because we've defined ourselves by our stuff.
Right.
When we can start to let go of some of that, redefine ourselves, and connect to the divine that's within us.
And that's a big job, huh?
It is a big job.
Erica, what do you think of co-creation? Can you tell me what you think of co-creation?
What do I believe? I believe if I have the opportunity to work with someone that has, you know, built the universe and built the world around us and my God, like, what better superhero to have on my team than any other thing that I might try to co-create with, right? Like, if I'm outside looking for answers from my parents, from my partners, from TV, et cetera, or I could learn how to go within and know that as I'm following the divine guidance, as I'm feeling my truth, that the magic that happens in that relationship is going to be so much more powerful than me trying to, you know, put something else together either on my own or with the advice of someone else. So I kind of go with the big guy as far as wanting, you know, believing. And it just, you know, for me, I the other day I was just reflecting on how every day I feel like I wake up and I surrender to my own greatness, like this truth that pulls me through, that there's this divine magic within me that if I can stay in alignment with it, it's going to have the most beautiful co-creative results. But it is a surrendering. It is kind of stepping into the unknown and getting out of the thoughts and the fears and the ego that would like to keep me safe and keep me locked into certain patterns and habits and autopilot of doing the same day, Groundhog Day, every single day. But I have to surrender to my own greatness. I have to take the path that I know is going to move me through, even if I don't know what the next two steps are. You know, like, I just know if I just listen to what that intuitive guidance is, I take that next step, and then I open. And, you know, the monkey mind can shut off, and I can relax, and I just keep opening, and I just keep receiving myself again and again and receiving the things that I want because I'm available, and I'm open, and I'm responsible to receive those.
So do you think that if you're doing a project like, for example, running a retreat to Costa Rica, or I'm thinking of a lot of different people that are trying to create projects together,
mm-hmm.
and that can get really difficult for a lot of people, as we know. I mean, it can be difficult for people who really love each other. And so the divinity part, I understand, is really good, but there's a harmonizing interactive aspect on the external that has to happen as well. And I'm sure you've got some clues on that for us, have you?
Well, it's part of connecting into your guidance and knowing that you need to connect within yourself before you open your mouth and before you do this big reaction that might create this drama that's going to be, shall we say, perhaps terminal for a partnership. it's knowing that if you take the moment, if you take the breath and you connect into that divine part of you that understands what's best in the situation and that moves from love in the situation and compassion and understanding, that all these things are actually quite easily worked out. We make them much more difficult than they need to be because we move from a place of fear. When we shift to a place of love and connection, then we're on the same team again, and we are one. And the trivial stuff, we sort it out and we move on.
So in your spiritual living webcasts or your workshops, do you work with, like you already spoke of working in partners in some of the exercises, do you work with some of the arts of co-creation?
Who we look to co-create with primarily, first and foremost, is with the divine in the form of your angels and your spirit guides and your direct connection to divinity. That's who you're co-creating with. Everyone else is part of that divine oneness, but your primary focus is, ask the angels, what's the next best thing? What is the next step? Connect to that divinity inside yourself, that deep part of your heart that knows, and ask it, what do I need to be doing now? And it will tell
you. When Renee and I first talked about doing the retreat, I had something come up because in my past business relationship, I always felt like it was like if there was something positive that happened, I was not responsible for it. If there was something negative that happened for it, I was the one that was responsible for it. And there seemed to be these kind of power trips in the relationship, or these ways in which I started to feel myself like maybe I was taken advantage of, or you know, I had some wounding that I had to work through. And so when Renee and I came together to talk about the retreat, at first I was a little bit like, you know, because I love her as a friend and as my spiritual advisor and a colleague. And, you know, it's a big deal to want to step into this business partnership and a co-creation with someone. And as she's walking me through this process and I'm opening and she's like, well, who's leading in this relationship? And immediately what came through was God's leading. And I was like, oh, this is it. That's the sign. We're doing it together. Because in the past, someone always had to be the leader in this. And to find Renee and to help people to find this within themselves and in their own partnership to say, we're both here to create the space for the highest thing, the best thing, the divine to come through. You know, that was what is going to be most magical. When we can step aside from our egos, yes, we can bring our ideas and our creativity and our gifts that we each individually and uniquely hold. And can we create the space to say, I might not hold all the answers. I don't have it all myself. Like, let there be space for something more to come through, either from my partner or through the space she's creating and holding through her relationship to the divine. And how beautiful that we can come together and say, yes, let's create a space for that more to come through without one of us always having to be right or blame, et cetera. And she's amazing. I mean, there's been text messages where I've sent her where I'm kind of in my freak out zone and I'm like laughing as I'm typing the last period because I've already worked myself back and be like, whoa, what was that? You know, and did I really need to send it to her at 3 a.m. in the morning? Probably not. But like, luckily she's 2 hours behind me. You know, but we're human and we're creating this space for ourselves to really keep rising up in ourselves to be this the full light being and to be able to walk and be consciousness. And one of the great ways to do that is in relationship to another, to hold the space for ourselves as we're navigating and as we're processing. And that's why coming together in a retreat center like this, where you know you're going to show up with people that are willing to commit to themselves and commit to each other. You know, it's not just like we're walking our path and then we're alone in this, you know, we're alone on this journey and on an island. We're going to be consistently interacting with people in our world and we're not just going to be sitting in a cave somewhere. And so how do we start to be that example of consciousness and then be able to hold a container for other people to open up to that within themselves without being reactionary? You know, it's kind of like, when I taught this course on called LEAP, on listening, expressing, acting, and progressing, expression was like, if someone is yelling at me, how can I start to look beyond how it is that they're actually yelling and see into the truth of what they're communicating, see into the truth of the pain. And so I'm not just going to make them wrong for yelling because I honor expression. And if there's no separation, then the person yelling is equally as beautiful in their expression as the person that can, you know, do it in a slow whisper. Hopefully we can get to the place where it's a little bit more harmonious and we're not being triggered and whatnot. But how do I then be the first person to be that space for someone else to say, it's okay, and you don't have to yell at me, and I hear you.
One of the things you're saying often in here is something I really respect, which is actually hearing one another. So you were sort of implying that if someone gets reactive and they're yelling, for example, you're hearing that there's something underneath that. And I think that's part of the organizational talent, isn't it? That's part of the ability to bring together a group for co-creation is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes. And so the people at the retreat are dedicated to their own individual greatness and then also each other. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't just stop on October 17th. That's the great part. It's going to be, you know, the next part of your awakening and your support system into your being really true to yourself.
And so when you come back from the retreat, you're going to do more of these webcasts, webinars?
Yes, we're putting together what I'm calling the Divine Spirit Salon, if you will. And it's going to be ongoing support for the folks who are walking this process or going through these changes to continue to develop tools to have a safe space to practice new behaviors, to get feedback or support on I'm trying this and I'm running into this challenge. Because it's all about not just learning the tools and having a safe place in Costa Rica, but then being able to translate that back into your life to make meaningful change.
Mm-hmm.
And we plan to be there with our hands out. If you want to take our hands for support as you continue to walk the path, we are honored to walk with you.
That's wonderful. I love that. So it's really, mm-hmm. The Costa Rica place is like a temporary ashram where you go to kind of reload and stock up and be multi-aspected, and then you can carry on after that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that. You put that beautifully.
Well, I'm excited. This is a really exciting situation. So tell people, before we come to the end, we have a little time because our show broke down in the middle and we had to glue it back together. We had to co-create our show in the middle, didn't we? So tell people how to get hold of each of you and how to book or to ask questions about the retreat. I know you've already given a website, but tell them again how to get hold of each of you.
Sure. So people can email me. This is Erica at Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at lovedseenheard.com. That's lovedseenheard.com. Or they can come and register and meet us at the retreat in Costa Rica at runawayandreset.com.
I think that's a fun title. Runaway. What is it? Runaway and Reset?
Reset. Yeah.
Exactly. Yes. And if you go out to runawayandreset.com and you look down the page, there's, you know, obviously 5 buttons and that sort of thing where you can make your reservations. Below that, there is also a contact form. If you get down to the bottom and you're like, oh my goodness, I forgot to ask. I need to find out this before I book. There is a little form down there you can fill out and it will shoot your email right over to me. Or you can have my email address directly. I am Renee, R-E-N-E-E, at divineonehealing.com. That's D-I-V-I-N-E, numeric 1, healing, healing.com.
And I love it.
Get you your answer 2 weeks. They're snappy about that.
Yeah, well, this is wonderful. Also, I want to mention something else that we haven't said, but I know it's important to people, is that there's always a lot of music at Ama Tierra, whether it's healing music by CDs or Jill playing the piano or sometimes other people playing the piano, or maybe one of you two play the piano. And so it's often got that sense of a loving musical environment there as well. I'm hoping you're going to put up pictures when you've been there.
Oh, yeah. We have lots of plans for pictures and recording, and we're planning to actually release some of the Sacred Living Labs for independent purchase down the road. So stay tuned. There is more stuff coming, but if you really want to experience this and you really want to start your growth, you need to be in Costa Rica.
I love that. I want to ask you a question. This one is going to be directed to Renee. I see that you've studied, you've gotten some of your metaphysics through the Melchizedek system. Is that right?
Yes, I have been ordained in the Order of Melchizedek.
Okay. And what does that mean? Can you tell people what that means?
Yes. Melchizedek is, they believe, Christ's avatar before he actually incarnated. He was the one that taught Abraham the teachings of the Zohar, for example, which has more recently been opened up to other people outside of the Jewish community, married 40-year-old men with children. You can now study Kabbalah if you like.
Are you Jewish, Renee?
Not in this lifetime.
Okay.
I've had past lives where I was Jewish, yeah. But I became ordained in the Order of Melchizedek because my guide sent me that direction. You know, you need to reconnect with this part of your heritage, and so that's what I have done.
Good.
And I am refreshing my knowledge of Kabbalah, I would say.
Oh, that's great. And you've done Theta Healing as well. We've spoken to Theta Healers on this show before.
Yes, yes. Theta Healing is one of the modalities I use, along with emotional clearing, and I channel healing directly through laying on of hands as well.
Good. Oh, wonderful. And what about you, Erica? Give us some of your... Oh, and you did biochemistry. I remember that. I like that a lot. And finances. So that's a good combination. Erica, what is your background? You've got a lot of light. I can see that. And a lot of... what is it called? Volatile dynamic light.
Thank you. Well, as far as like professional certifications, I was certified in a vinyasa, flow yoga, Thai yoga massage, access consciousness bars, practitioner and facilitator for people that are familiar with the access consciousness work.
I've been through a lot of that myself.
Yeah, all great tools. And I've always been a truth seeker and have studied. You know, and my own journey for people that don't know, you know, I had a journey of being, going through bulimia for 13 years and, you know, my own kind of addiction, times where that was how I coped with being an empath or my anxiety or not knowing how to deal with my feelings. And so I did a lot of work and a lot of truth seeking and worked with a lot of energy healers and, you know, different ways of therapies and things. And so, all of that together has really integrated inside of me to be able to have this huge medicine bag, of tools that help me to, again, meet people where they are and due to my own kind of intuitive and psychic sense, be able to ask the right questions and feel into other parts of people and where they're blocked. I know one of the fun things that I'm able to do is when I'm with a client is feeling which energy center, which chakra area feels kind of blocked for them. And when I ask them, oh, what's going on? And they say, oh, nothing. It's everything's great. And I'm like, okay, there's a reason you're sitting here with me. I'm able to then go into that space and ask the right questions so that we can bring awareness to the places that need to be released. We can undo those patterns and free ourselves for ourselves to be able to move forward powerfully and on purpose.
Wow, I love that. So you both have been through enough experiences in this life to really have compassion and understanding of all the people that you work with. I feel really touched by this discussion with you both. And I think Costa Rica is going to be blessed.
Yeah. Thank you. I feel the same.
Thank you so much.
And I hope that we'll hear back from you and hear how wonderful it is. And many blessings. Thank you so much for being a paradigm shifter, two paradigm shifters co-creating.
Thank you.
Woohoo.
All right. Bye, girls.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.